Thank you for listening to the Bible Expositors Podcast with your host, Stephen Baker, taking you verse by verse through the Word of God from the pulpit of Harmony Baptist Church in Dalton, Georgia.
Learned quite a lot, and can't wait to see what Paul has to say to us this morning. So let's read verse 12, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll begin. Verse 12 says, "As touching our brother Apollos, I greatly desired him to come unto you with the brethren, but his will was not at all to come at this time. But he will come when he shall have a convenient time." Let's go to the Lord in prayer and we'll begin. Heavenly Father, thank you for letting us be in your house this morning. I do pray now that you would forgive me for my sins. I pray that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit as I teach. I pray that you would bless the children as they learn in children's church. I pray that you would just help us and bless us and help us to worship you. For we ask it in Jesus' name, the name above every name. Amen. So the title of the message today is Final Words. Final Words. These are Paul's final words to the Corinthians for now. He's going to write another letter, 2 Corinthians, and we'll study that and see what he has to say there. But for now, these are his final words. And the first thing that we see is that Paul leaves the Corinthians with instructions for the church. Paul leaves the Corinthians with instructions for the church. And in verse 12, he says, "As touching our brother Apollos, I greatly desired him to come unto you with the brethren, but his will was not at all to come at this time, but he will come when he shall have a convenient time." And David Guzik says this gives a rare insight about how the early church leaders related to each other. It was not a hierarchical relationship, and Paul did not dictate his will to Apollos. So Paul urged Apollos to come visit Corinth, but Apollos said, "Can't do it right now. It's not what I want to do right now." And so Paul didn't order Apollos to visit Corinth because that's not the way the church leaders in the early church worked. Now, some churches are set up in exactly that way today, where you have leaders that are above pastors of local churches that dictate to the pastors what they do, and then you have leaders that are above them that dictate to them what they do, and it forms a hierarchy of leadership that is outside of the local church. But that indeed is not a biblical thing. And Apollos, even though he was a great man, and Paul, even though he was an apostle, they didn't dictate to one another what they were to do. Also, we see something else in this verse, and I'm going to back up to the verse. "As touching our brother Apollos, I greatly desired him to come unto you with the brethren, but his will was not at all to come at this time, but he will come when he shall have convenient time." You notice that even though Paul was a great man, even though Paul was an apostle, Apollos knew the will of God for himself, and he followed God's will for himself. And he didn't go against that. And it's important for you as an individual to seek God. We talked about the will of God in Sunday school this morning. It's important for you as an individual to seek God and to know what God wants you to do, and to do what God has called you to do. Because sometimes we can be influenced by other Christians. We should listen to other Christians. We should take advice. But sometimes we can be influenced by other Christians, and somebody's telling you to do something that's important in your life, and you feel inside yourself, you know, that may not be the thing I should do, but because they're telling you to do it, then you go ahead and do it, and things don't turn out well. So seek God yourself. Have the peace of God. It is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And indeed, Apollos knew what God wanted him to do. Paul said, "I greatly desired him to come to you, but he didn't want to do it. His will was not at all to come to you at this time, but he will come when he shall have convenient time." So let's know the will of God in our own lives. Now, verse 13 says this, "Watch ye. Stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. Be strong." And The phrase, quit you like men, according to Strong's Concordance, means to act manly. Now, in this day and age, you know, people may not know what that means, but to act manly, to act manly. Thayer's lexicon says to show oneself a man, to be brave. And that's the general idea, to act like a man, to be brave. And these are all military terms in this verse. These are military terms. And the Bible says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be brave, act like a man, be strong. Matthew Henry says, a Christian is always in danger. Therefore, he should ever be on the watch. He should be fixed in the faith of the gospel and never desert or give it up. By this faith alone, he will be able to keep his ground in an hour of temptation. And so, we need to, the Christian life's a warfare. We're in a spiritual battle, so we need to press forward. We need to be brave, to act like men, to stand firm in the faith of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and to hold our ground. Because there are people that are going to try and shake us, and try and get us off course, and try and get us away from the Lord, get us out of church, get us off course, and we just need to stand our ground and go forward for Jesus Christ and fight this battle by the faith of Jesus Christ. Verse 14 says this, let all your things be done with charity, which means just everything you do, do it with love. Do it with love. Now, that's something that we don't have a lot of today. We don't do all things with charity. When people talk about politics, they don't do it with love. when people have disagreements with people, we don't do it with love. We get really angry. We argue, get bitterly angry, act like every little issue is the hill to die on. And we need to have love for one another and to be able to discuss things. Where is the day and age when people could sit down and talk to one another like adults? And instead, everybody's acting like Zach. Everybody acts like kids. And so let all your things be done with charity. Everything you do, do it with love, the Bible says. Verse 15, I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that is one of my ancient ancestors, the house of Stephen, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. So the household of Stephanas was one of Paul's first converts in that region. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 1:16, Paul says, and I baptized also the household of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. And so Paul had only baptized a few in Corinth. Baptism wasn't the most important thing to him. The important thing to him was preaching the gospel, and he let other people do baptisms. And baptism's very important, but I will tell you that I wish we had somebody else here to baptize, because I don't like baptizing. It's not my thing. It's very important. It's something we need to do, but I just don't like doing it. I like preaching and teaching the Bible and preaching the gospel. And in a Baptist church, you do not have to be ordained to baptize. You do in some churches, but in a Baptist church, baptism is not a ministerial ordinance. It is a church ordinance, which means it is a ordinance of the church itself, not of the ministry. You don't have to be in the ministry. You don't have to be ordained to baptize in a Baptist church. And you may not have known that, but now you know. But Paul says, I baptize also the household of Stephanas. Paul goes on to say, the Lord sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. But he did baptize Stephen's, or the household of Stephanas. And so this was one of the first converts in that area. And so Paul says, I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. They've addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Now, there are a lot of things that people get addicted to. A lot of things we get addicted to. I'm addicted to coffee. I love coffee. Now, when I do the drug classes at the youth detention center, sometimes the students try to equate my coffee addiction to other kinds of addictions, and I remind them that coffee's not illegal. But I enjoy coffee. And there are all kinds of things that we get addicted to. Some people are addicted to drugs. Some people are addicted to other things. Chocolate. Yes, some people are addicted to chocolate. That was my wife. But these folks had addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. That's an amazing thing. They were addicted or devoted to ministering to God's people. That's what they did. And Paul has special instructions. He says in verse 16 that ye submit yourselves unto such and to everyone that helps with us and labors. Now this is important. A lot of times in the church, ministry helps is not considered as important as the people who are actually on the front lines doing the ministry. In other words, a missionary that's going to a foreign field is considered very important, but somebody that does missionary helps, that helps the missionary, or that travels and actually lives on the field and helps the missionaries on the field, they're not considered as important as the church planting missionaries themselves. But Paul says that the church ought to submit themselves unto such, unto these helpers, and to everyone that helps with us and labors. Because the truth of the matter is, if there weren't people that helped missionaries to carry out their work, then there wouldn't be any missionary work. Right? And if there weren't people, for instance, in the church, Jeff was talking this morning about the folks that clean the church, okay? If there weren't people to clean the church, nobody would come to church. Eventually it'd be so filthy in the church that no one would come. And so the person that cleans the church or the people that clean it are essential to having the church function as a church. Just like the folks that mow the grass or that paint or that keep the facilities running and working or that put the lights in or that do the sound or whatever else we have here. Every person that serves is essential to keeping the church running. Because it'd be a sad thing if I were to stand up and preach in a dark building that was filthy. Nobody would come. I don't care if Billy Sunday and Billy Graham were preaching. Nobody would come if it was filthy and dark. So submit yourselves unto such and to everyone that helps with us and laboreth. Verse 17. I am glad at the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaeus, for that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. Now, Stephanas, we know that that was that his house, he must have had a big house. He was probably a wealthy person, and he was of the first fruits of Achaia. So that was one of Paul's first converts and one of the first families that he baptized. But these other people that came with him, we don't know who they were. They could have been servants in his household. These names were used for both servants and free men, so we don't know, but they could have been servants that accompanied him. They also just could have been other members of the church. They could have been people that were going, but you had a missions team. I am glad at the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaeus, for that which was lacking on your part they have supplied. The NLT interprets that this way. I am very glad that Stephanas, Fortunatus and Achaeus have come here. They have been providing the help you weren't here to give me. So the rest of the church didn't come to help. Paul didn't take money from them because He didn't want them saying they had done anything for Paul as far as profiting him, because there were people in the church. The church was very divided at Corinth, as we've studied, and there were some people that said, "I'm of Paul," and some that said, "I'm of Apollos," and they were followers of different people in the church, and the church was divided. So Paul didn't want the other folks who weren't in his group to accuse him of being a money-grubbing preacher. And so, and he didn't agree with the divisions and groups anyway. He taught against it. So the point is that people in Corinth just weren't helping him. And so these three came to help him. And so Paul appreciated that. He appreciated them coming. Guzik says these were the three men who brought the questions of the Corinthian Christians to Paul. Paul asked that as they are sent back by him with his letter, they be received as devoted servants of the Lord. So Paul said, I want you to, I'm glad at the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaeus, for that which was lacking on your part they have supplied. Verse 17, and then verse 18, for they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore acknowledge ye them that are such. So Paul says, they've helped me. They've refreshed my spirit, and they've refreshed your spirit. And so acknowledge them. Don't just forget about them. Don't neglect them. Acknowledge these three men, and acknowledge all who are helping with the ministry. Acknowledge them. So we've seen instructions for the church, and now we see Paul's final greetings to the church. Paul gives some greetings to the church. Verse 19, the churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. Now, Paul was writing from Ephesus. The end of some of your Bibles, they don't do this much in Bibles anymore, but some of the older King James versions, at the end of them, they would say that this letter was written from, Philippi. But that's not where it was written from. There's all kinds of internal evidence that it was written from Ephesus. And one of the things is he's saying the churches of Asia salute you. And Ephesus was in Asia. And so the churches of Asia salute you. He's sending greetings. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord. Now, Aquila and Priscilla were some folks that Paul met. They were husband and wife. And he met them in Acts chapter 18, verses 1 through 3. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy, and his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome. So there was persecution of the Jews by the government in those days, and there's still persecution of the Jews today. This nutcase that shot up the synagogue in Pittsburgh was a Nazi, and said he was a Nazi and went in and killed 11 people. And it's a terrible, terrible thing, but the Jews continuously persecuted. And so that's what was happening here. And so they came to Corinth. And the Bible says, because he, that is Paul, was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. And so they were in the business of making tents. Paul was in the business of making tents when he needed to make some extra money. And so Paul labored with them and made tents with them and became good friends with them. And they had a church in their house. They started a church in their house. The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. Now, churches did not have church buildings until the 3rd century. And so before that, they would meet in people's homes. And so in any one town, you might have hundreds of churches meeting in a big town, and they would meet in people's homes. You might have 30 people meeting in one home and more in another that was bigger. But Aquila and Priscilla had a church in their house. Now, there is what is called a house church movement today. And if you ever see anything from that, that is usually a group of people who don't like the authority of the local church and who want to go and start something in their homes that gets them outside the authority of the local church. But that's not what we're talking about here. What we're talking about here is much closer to what some of the bigger churches are doing, where they're actually having study groups that meet in homes. And so that actually is a good way of saturating the community with the gospel. And that's what would happen here. When Paul's writing to the church at Corinth, he's not writing to one church building where everybody gathered. He's writing to one church, but they were meeting in all these different houses in the city of Corinth. And so the church that is in their house. Verse 20. All the brethren greet you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. This is a final greeting. And he says, all the brethren greet you. If I've left anybody else, or left anyone out, all the brethren greet you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Well, this was a custom in that day and age, still a custom in some countries. When we were in Peru in church, people would come up and kiss one another. They wouldn't actually kiss. They would put their cheeks up against one another and do the kissing sound. And that's how they did it. That's how they would greet one another. We don't do that here, fortunately. We shake hands. I'm very glad of that. So if this were being written today, it might say greet one another with a holy handshake. But at any rate, this was the custom. Greet one another with a holy kiss. The salutation of me, Paul, with my own hand. Paul always signed his own letters. When he wrote a letter, he would usually have a scribe write the letter. Now, Galatians, he wrote himself. And he said, you see what a large hand this letter's written in. Paul may have had trouble seeing. That's a possibility. But it's also possible he just had really bad handwriting. Nonetheless, He didn't write his own letters. He had a scribe write the letters, which is kind of interesting because it shows you how inspiration was working there. When Paul was writing an inspired letter, the Holy Spirit was speaking through Paul, and Paul was dictating the letter that the Holy Spirit was giving to him. He was dictating it to his scribe, and the scribe was writing it down, but the Holy Spirit had to be over the whole process to make sure there were no errors in what the scribe was writing down. And so that's how inspiration worked with a scribe. And sometimes a writer would write it themselves, and that was inspiration without a scribe. But oftentimes they use scribes. So Paul signed his own letters. In fact, in 2 Thessalonians 3:17, the apostle says, the salutation of Paul with mine own hand, which is the token in every epistle, so I write. So Paul said, every epistle that I write, I sign. That's how you know if it came from Paul. Verse 22, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha. Now, if you don't have a King James, this may be translated for you, but in the King James, it's actually, these are the Greek words, anathema, maranatha. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha. The word anathema means let him be accursed. This was a type of excommunication. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. Let the curse of God be on him. Let him be excommunicated. And then Maranatha means our Lord come. And so he's basically just saying, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. Our Lord is coming. And then verse 23, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Paul began the letter with grace and he closes it with grace. Now grace is when we get what we don't deserve from God. It's God's riches at Christ's expense. It is God's grace towards us. And so, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. And then he says, my love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen. So Paul concludes it by saying, my love be with you all in Christ Jesus. It's amazing. He had been really harsh to these people during some parts of the letter. And they had some false practices going on in the church, some errors. And Paul was trying to correct the errors, and he'd been really rough and very harsh with them in some parts. But he concludes the letter by saying, hey, I love you. I love you guys. And so he concludes it with love. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen. So, in summary, listen to other Christians and their opinions, but make sure you are following God and doing what He wants you to do. We saw that at the beginning of our study today. Listen to other Christians and their opinions, but make sure you're following God and doing what He wants you to do. Secondly, be brave and stand firm in the faith of the gospel. The enemy will try to shake your faith and get you to quit. The devil is always trying to shake our faith. He's trying to get us to quit church. He's trying to get us to quit our marriage. He's trying to get us to quit serving God. And you have to understand what the enemy's trying to do and be brave and stand firm in the faith of Jesus Christ. And finally, acknowledge people who serve the Lord by helping missionaries and other ministers, and help them to do that work. They're trying to help missionaries. Help them. Let's help them. Let's help those who are trying to help the ministry to go forward. And so that is the last section and Paul's final words to the Corinthian church. And we perhaps will do a summary study next week, next Sunday morning, where we kind of review the whole book and just summarize what we have learned before we start our next study, which right now I feel like is probably going to be 2 Corinthians, because we need to find out what happened next. It's like the sequel. You want to know what happened next. But right now, let's go to the Lord in prayer. If you're here and you're not saved, we invite you to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior this morning. He died on the cross for your sins. He was buried. 3 days later, He rose from the dead. He wants to forgive your sins. He wants to save you from the judgment of God, from hell, from death. He wants to save you and give you eternal life and a home in heaven. And you can have that if you'll trust Him this morning. Others may need to make other decisions, but less...